comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks. Welcome to the show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here. I think you're going to enjoy this experience, and we're going to do our best to make sure that you do. All right, you need to know, if you are new, you need to know that we have something called the K-Files e-zine. Now, the K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter, and that free weekly newsletter can be had by simply subscribing. Go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe. You'll see it. There's a little button there with red letters in it that says K-Files e-zine. Takes a few seconds. And you can unsubscribe anytime you desire to do so. Yesterday was, of course, September the 11th. We refer to it as 9-1-1. And September the 11th is a very, very special day for folks who live in the United States of America. And I would say probably for folks living anywhere in the free world. It's a very special, sacred, and sad day. Now, we did not do a live broadcast last night because I was working on some of this technology while the broadcast was going on and watching how things balanced out as the broadcast was going on. But I do want to say that when Americans say, "We will never forget," you can take that to your bank. We will never forget. And to all of the families that were impacted personally by that very horrific, cowardly act of Al-Qaeda, or whoever did it. And I'm persuaded that Al-Qaeda probably did. But even if they did, whoever did it, all the families that were impacted by that and lost loved ones in that very tragic event, certainly we extend our sympathies and will forever. Hurricane Ike is moving into the Texas coastline this evening, and sometime tonight is expected to make landfall. The outer edges of that storm have already begun to touch the coast, and so sometime tonight it's going to move up onto the coast. And I think it's very appropriate for us to discuss tonight, because this is a massive, massive, gigantic storm. And I think it's appropriate for us to discuss tonight something that a lot of you have been trying to get me to do a show on, and that is weather warfare. And we'll take a break, and then when we come back from the break, I will explain to you why I have resisted doing much on weather warfare, although I have had some shows on specifically that topic, but I haven't done a lot with it, and I want to explain to you why. And then we'll get into our topic tonight, and we'll take a look at the idea of weather warfare. Is it happening? We'll be back right after this. Weather warfare, it's much in much in the alternative news. And there are people who deal with that information daily. I don't want to say this in a way that sounds like I'm dissing them, because I'm not, but they're just eaten up with it. I mean, it consumes them. And I get emails all the time from people who are assuming things. They're assuming facts, not in evidence, about me. And what they say is, you know, I know you don't believe in this, and I know blah, blah, blah. Now, you don't know anything. You don't know. When you assume something about me, I can virtually guarantee you are dead wrong. But it's a mistake a lot of people don't seem to be able to avoid. But I get these emails that are strident, almost hysterical. I don't mean funny either. I mean, they're almost in hysterics about weather warfare. And they think it's something that a person must believe. Why? It is no secret that the technology has been under development for years. That's no secret. That's a matter of public record. I've had on this show Dr. Nick Begich, and he's talked about it. I've had on this show Dr. Joseph Resnick. He's talked about it some. I've had on this show Jerry E. Smith, an author, a researcher and author, who's written a book about weather warfare. And he's talked about it openly. Now, there's nothing to believe here. It's a fact that weather modification and perhaps weather warfare, by perhaps, I mean, I'm not sure at what stage of development it is at this moment, certainly weather warfare technology has been under development. Now, one of the things that is a big clue, and this is out there in the public, there is a study that was done for the Pentagon. A paper was prepared. It's called Weather as a Force Multiplier, Owning the Weather in 2025. There are numerous pieces of legislation that have been passed that authorize and that fund weather modification programs. And so, you know, this whole thing about people just don't believe, well, there's nothing to believe. It's like asking, do you believe in the sun? I mean, it's there. What is there to believe? There it is. Weather warfare technology and weather modification, it has been out in the public domain. And, you know, if people decide that they think you're nuts because you talk about it, well, so be it. That's their choice. It's still somewhat a free country. And that's what they choose? Well, fine. So what? If they decide that people who talk about weather warfare and weather modification, if the rest of the public decides that, you know, these are people that are kooky, well, that's their choice. But when it rains, they get rained on too, don't they? And if a hurricane comes to the city they live in, they don't escape it just because they don't believe it. Look, what people believe and what they disbelieve has absolutely no bearing on reality. You got to understand that. There are people who do not believe that weather modification is going on. And as I say, what is this, all this talk about believe? But they've chosen to say it's not happening. But they have to live under the same climate weather realities as everybody. So whether you believe it or you disbelieve it has no effect upon reality. Now, this gets into, and we're going to talk about weather modification tonight, and I want you to talk with me and the rest of the audience about it. I want to know tonight when we open the phone lines. They're not open right now. I'll let you know when they're open. But when we open the phone lines, I want to hear from you what you think about weather modification. I want to hear from you what you know about weather modification and possible weather warfare. But see, this all gets into that same debate, I guess, or discussion, not a debate, that we have about do we create our own reality? And I'm speaking to people right now all around the world who have bought into the idea that you create your own reality. And I absolutely stand my ground. You do not create your own reality. Reality is standing out there objectively, not subjectively, and it's standing out there for everybody. Just because you believe that the sun will not come up in the morning, do you think that will stop it? Just because you believe that you can breathe underwater, do you think that means you can? You don't create your own reality. You do not create your own reality. We create our perceptions of reality that's out there. Look, if you could create reality, it wouldn't be real. It wouldn't be real. And this whole subjective thing about, well, truth is truth, you know, for some people, but for other people that's not true. No, truth is truth. And some people buy it and some people don't. If you get to where you think this subjective stuff is the real deal, try this. Go down to your bank, deposit $10 and walk away and write checks for say $10,000. And then whenever the police come and arrest you for writing all those hot checks, tell them that that's just according to their truth, that your truth is that you've got $10,000 in the bank. You see, truth is truth. Reality is reality. Now, we get to form our own perceptions of it. And when we form our own perceptions of reality, and we all do it, but when we form our own perception of reality, we have to understand that that's our perception. That's not our truth. That's our perception of truth. That's not our own reality. That's our perception of reality. Now, we all do it. It's a totally inescapable function of the human mind. We perceive reality in a way that's unique to ourselves. All right, so what does that do? Well, what that means is that we then have created the circumstances that are going to flow to us from that reality. Now, Ike, Hurricane Ike, that is reality. It is gigantic. That is a reality. It is coming toward the Texas coast. That is a reality. Whether you believe it or don't believe it. Now, if you perceive Ike as, it's not such a bad deal, and you stay in those low-lying areas, whatever circumstances befall you are circumstances that you chose. Maybe not what you wanted, but it is according to what you've chosen. So people that did not evacuate and decided to stay in those low-lying areas around on Galveston Island, if I hope they make it. But if they don't make it, that's what they chose. The reality is the reality, and circumstances are flowing from it. Your perception of reality, your perception of it, determine which of those circumstances flow to you. Now, what has that got to do with weather warfare? There are people who are trying to put this whole discussion of weather warfare into the realm of believe or disbelieve. You can try to convince me that that's where it needs to be. I'll let you do that. I mean, you know, it's freedom of speech. You can try to convince me that's where this needs to be. What is there to believe? What is there to disbelieve? Now, when we're talking about does weather modification actually exist, and are there plans for weather warfare or the weaponizing of weather? That's in the public domain. There's nothing there to believe or disbelieve. It's just a fact. It's there, and it's documented. Now, who's doing it? Well, you know, the whole idea of who's doing it could fall into, well, I believe it's this group, I believe it's that group, I believe it's our government, I believe it's their government. You could do that. But again, I want to ask you tonight the question, why believe? Why isn't it enough to examine evidence and then say, either I know this or I don't know this. Either this is true or it's not true, or I just don't know. And we need to investigate more. But if you feel that, you know, you need to make a religion out of this, go ahead and believe something about it, and you're free to do that. Weather warfare is not a theory. Now, there was a project during the Vietnam War called Project Popeye, and this project was weather warfare. It was an attempt to, and apparently with some success, to prolong the monsoon season over the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Now, the Ho Chi Minh Trail, for those of you who are too young to remember, or who were too unalert to pay attention at the time, the Ho Chi Minh Trail was not a single road. It was many roads, rivers, creeks, many paths, but it was a route for getting the supplies and ammunition from North Vietnam to their troops in the south. So the Ho Chi Minh Trail was targeted for this weather warfare, the weaponizing of weather, and apparently with some success. Now, what success it had in terms of actually slowing down the supplies that were coming into South Vietnam for the North Vietnamese troops, that's debated. But did it create more rain? Did it prolong the monsoon season? Yes, it did. And so this is not new. This is something that's been around for a while. The technologies undoubtedly have gotten better, more sophisticated, and probably more efficient. But the concept and the actual implementation of the concept has been around for a long time. Prior to the Vietnam War, of course, there were many attempts to seed the clouds, and not only seed the clouds, but with a view to creating rain. There were a lot of attempts. And based on those attempts and based upon experiments that had been somewhat successful, Project Popeye was launched. And it did prolong the monsoon season. And for those of you in Arizona and you hear the word monsoon, I know you think that just means there's high humidity in the air and we might get 4 or 5 drops of rain. But a real monsoon is buckets of rain for days and days and days and days. Washes out roads and bridges, floods towns and villages. A real monsoon is serious rain. And so they prolonged it. And if you've never lived through a real monsoon, if you've never been there, there's just no way that you can identify with what it is. It's not necessarily high winds. It's just rain, unbelievable amounts of rain. And so Project Popeye existed. There have been a couple of other projects out there, but the U.S. Air Force planners hope to give the 21st century warriors advanced technologies that will enable them to own the weather. Now, that's not my opinion. That's not some nut with a blog that's scratching out things on the internet. That is from the U.S. Air Force publications. That's well documented. And so, on the one hand, I don't think that those who have decided that weather warfare is a reality, I don't think they're nutty. I don't think they're kooky. I mean, there's documentation behind a lot of what they say. However, there are some that are just strident and hysterical about it and way off into the believe. And if that's where you are, well, I can hope for your rescue of sanity. These things are happening, and there's not any reason to go nuts about it. That doesn't mean that you have to agree with it. That doesn't mean you have to in any way support the concept. On the other hand, there's no reason to go nuts about it. If you do that, there's certainly not going to be very many audiences for you to tell your story to, because people reject anything that seems nutty and kooky. And you've got to present this and present your information and present your case in a way that's logical and reasonable. But whether you are logical and reasonable or whether you're touchy-feely, warm and fuzzy, either way, we're going to give you the opportunity to say what you want to say about weather warfare. We're going to do that, though, when we come back from this break. everything in our lives is as important as people. You know that. And one of the best ways to express your appreciation and love to those very important people in your life is to send them a bouquet of beautiful fresh flowers. Like everything else these days, the prices at the florist shops have been on the rise. Add to that the cost of gasoline to get to the shops, and sending flowers can be, well, expensive. But not when you use the excellent services of our friends at 1-800-Flowers. Shop online and save 100% of your gasoline costs. Plus, you get great prices for beautiful arrangements, as little as $24.95. And you also can get same-day delivery. Visit 1-800-Flowers in the KSS Mall at kevinsmithshow.com. Send beautiful, fresh flowers to that someone special today. All right, the topic is weather warfare. The reason that I said all that I said just before that break is because I want you to understand that if you plan on calling in and saying, well, I just don't believe it's going on, there is a lot of documentation that says, number one, that the U.S. Air Force, at least, is very interested in it. Number two, they have plans to weaponize the weather. They published the document that I was telling you about, owning the weather by 2025. Number three, there are lots of documents like legislation where it is authorized, where Congress authorized it. It's okay if you want to call in and say, I just don't believe there's any such thing. I don't think we have that capability. Okay, you can. That's fine. You can call in. That's your opinion, and it's welcome here. But I don't want you to make the mistake of thinking that people are nuts if they say that they think that the technology exists. I know the technology exists, I just don't know at what state of development it is. And I gave you a reason before the break, I gave you a reason for why I said I know the technology exists. I know the technology exists quite simply because it was used. Back during the Vietnam War, it was used. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mark from Nashport, Ohio. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing real good. I thought that was kind of an interesting topic tonight. I really don't know that much about it when it comes to weather warfare. However, it does seem that we are seeing a set of historical trends in terms of the weather. Would you agree with that? It seems to be becoming more and more severe, you know, whether it's snowstorms or hurricanes or whatever kind of weather.
Well, I guess I'll tell you, there's a guy that a lot of people think, you know, he's right on the money, and other people think this guy is nutty. And he's a former weatherman at a TV station. When Katrina happened, he was looking at satellite photographs and saw real anomalies in the storm itself, visually. And he said, number one, that he believed that the storm was being intensified and guided by an outside force, and he said possibly electromagnetic. And then he later said that based on his research, and I'm not sure what all that was, he thought that this was being done by a Japanese mafia group to get back at the United States for Hiroshima, and then also for you know, kind of a trade war with us. I'm sorry?
Kind of sounds like some of, that sounds like some of the things that Benjamin Fulford's been saying.
Well, yeah, there are quite a number of people that seem to have that opinion. And he's one of them. Scott, I think his name is Stevens, is the weatherman. But when you look at the photographs of a lot of these storms, the eye of the storm is not circular. It'll be octagonal or it'll be rectangular. When you look at the eye of the storm and it's not circular, it's not natural.
So who would benefit, though, from creating these tremendous storms? Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, if it's a criminal organization, if it is a terrorist organization that's in possession of the technology, which they very well could be because it was first developed, this type of technology was first developed by the Russians, and they'll sell their stuff to anybody that's got the cash. And so they very well could be in possession of it. That's like asking who would benefit from a terrorist attack of any type upon the United States. Well, the benefit may not be an actual benefit, but a psychological benefit to the terrorists that succeed in doing it.
I think I heard David Wilcox say in passing that the Russians had developed a hurricane cannon. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it.
I don't know how that would work, and he really didn't talk about it in detail, but I thought that was quite interesting.
A hurricane cannon. Really,
yeah, a hurricane cannon. That's kind of over the top, but some of this wild technology, I think, is out there. Do you think that the New World Order might be involved in some of this, or?
Well, they may be. That's where we get into all that stuff about do you believe this or do you believe that. I don't know, and I don't know of anyone who actually knows. But I do know that there are a lot of people who believe that the New World Order is behind a lot of this. Look at Katrina. Katrina took a dead bead. I mean, it solidly aimed at New Orleans and hit it. Okay, well, New Orleans, I don't know if you know this, 25% of the hazardous chemicals that we use in the United States of America in our industry come out of New Orleans.
That's wild.
25%. Now, why is that important? There are people that would say, well, we don't need hazardous chemicals. Yeah, you do. When you go to the supermarket and you want your frozen meat, and you want you want it because of safety. You want it to be, you know, nice and cold. Those air conditioning units that do that are run on ammonia.
Right. That's true. You know, I talked to a guy today that has family in Houston, and they're not evacuating. They're sticking the storm out.
Well, Houston, you know, based on the reports of where they think this thing is going to strike, Houston is not going to be, right in the path of it. They're going to be in the outer bands of it, but Galveston's going to catch it.
Right. Hey, I wanted to change the topic real quick, then I'll get off here.
Uh-huh.
Well, you were talking about people that say that they create their own reality. And I do, I'm on the same page as you where that's concerned. Sometimes that seems awful subjective. However, have you ever watched that movie that's called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Yeah.
And they talk about the observer effect in quantum physics that somehow just by observing things that we affect things at a quantum level or a level that's even beneath the molecular level.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what people are referring to when they say they create their own reality, but it's an interesting concept that maybe our thoughts to a certain degree do affect matter to a certain extent.
But
I don't think I can stop a speeding train or anything like that.
Yeah. When you observe something, the way in which you observe it is your intent or your perception of what you're observing. And that makes the selection for the type of consequences that flow to you. And so that could be very definitely at a quantum level. But let me give you an example. I've had this example used. There is a professor, and I think his name is Emoto, from Japan, who has discovered that if you put a glass of water in front of someone and have them think good thoughts, the molecules in the water take on a sort of a crystalline and kind of a snowflake appearance. And if you have them think really terrible thoughts, then the molecules of the water are chaotic. Okay. But then here's the deal. It's still water.
That's correct.
So the reality is the reality. The consequences that flow to you from that reality are determined by your perceptions.
You know, I'll get off here, but I just want to make one last statement you might find interesting. That part of the Billy Myers material, they talk about one of the extraterrestrials named Patah, who is what they call an Ishwish, I guess, or a person that has got to the point where their thoughts can affect matter. So at some point, I guess it is possible to advance to a level where your thoughts can affect matter. You might find that interesting. Check out the Randy Winters lecture sometime. I know I've talked about it before. But I'll get off here, Kevin. Let another guy call in. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, folks. The line is open, and the telephone number is 602-539-3316. 602-539-3316. Someone just informed me that we do not have that up on the website. So let me get it up here on our video screen for those of you who are watching. There's the telephone number on the video screen. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Colin from New York.
Yeah, Colin.
How you doing? I just wanted to just maybe put a couple of theories out there about it. You know, I heard on a radio show, I believe it was Alex Jones, he had said something about a treaty signed beginning of the Cold War. I believe it was 1960 or around there. And one of the first lines of the treaty was an agreement to not use weather manipulation against each other. And that's a public document. I'm not sure of the exact title of the treaty. I'm sorry, but I did allude to that on the air one time.
Yeah.
I've also heard of Tesla, talking about using electromagnetic energy. Of course, his ideas now have gone. And we were just discussing it in chat. They have gone towards the HARP project, and I've also heard a theory where it's connected to the chemtrails where they're leaving the heavy metals like
Well, it could be. Listen, we're into a break. Do you want to hold on, or does that about do it for you?
Yeah, I can hold on.
All right, hang on. We'll be back with you in just a moment. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. More on weather warfare. All right, we're back, and this evening we're talking about weather warfare. Is it real? And what's the evidence? And we're talking also with Colin. And I believe you said you're from New York, right?
Yes, that's right.
New York City?
Yes, that's right. No, Long Island.
Long Island. All right. You had something else on your mind that you wanted to say?
Well, I was just saying, you know, I've heard a bunch of different theories. You know, I just heard this guy, Joe Bullard, who was talking about the guy who made Coral Castle, talking about the ley lines of the Earth and alluding to the Bermuda Triangle having something to do with the weather that comes up through that way. And that might be ancient stuff under the sea there that is interacting with the world that we're just not aware of. I mean, there's a lot of different theories, but a lot of stuff goes back to Tesla and the electromagnetic things. And then that's mainly what I wanted to touch on. The HAARP project seems to come up a few times when I've been seeing this thing.
Now, are you aware, talking about different theories, are you aware that we have a high government official in the United States, that former high government official, that has stated that this weather alteration technology is in the hands of terrorists?
Well, I did not know that, no.
All right, well, this is U.S. Defense Secretary Cohen. Remember when he was the Defense Secretary under Bill Clinton?
Okay.
And speaking about terrorist groups, he says others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes and volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves.
Well, you know, and Tesla was certain and did prove that he could cause an earthquake with specific energy like that from across the Earth, basically, you know. And there's a lot of truth to that because, Hutchison, John Hutchison, I don't know if I had him on as a guest.
Sure, he's been on several times.
I never actually caught him on, I did catch him once, actually. He talked about being a Navy buff a bunch of times. He was very elusive when you would ask him tricky questions, always going back to the gunsmith and Navy buff stuff. But he also uses this electromagnetic, I mean, clearly, we can levitate a cardboard milk container and has claimed he can make a building disappear with this. These ideas that, again, go back to Nikola Tesla is the origin as far as I know. But that's one of the things I wanted to just throw out there because his ideas are very old and seem to hold a lot of water. He's the forgotten genius in a lot of science. He's not gotten the credit he should have. Like Marconi got credit using 17 of his patents. Edison, of course, doing similar type thing to him. So Tesla kind of got backwashed. But a lot of these ideas, I think, are going to come. A lot of this weather manipulation comes.
Well, that's right. Nikola Tesla actually did many of the things Edison took credit for.
Right.
He is the inventor of radio, not Marconi. And that has been so ruled by the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Right. I didn't know that. I know that Marconi had used patents of his and got the credit, basically. I was taught that. That's what I was taught in school.
And yeah.
I came to Tesla late, you know. But I understand. This weather manipulation, though, if you go back into his notes or his theories and you look at his ideas, you'll see that he was saying this stuff, and he had a handle on it many, many years, you know, over 100 years ago now. And so the idea that this is not, you know, that this is weird or people are kooky, this is real. This is real. And you already said that they've used it in your experience in the Vietnam War. And I'm telling you that there's definitely a treaty out there that the United States and Russia signed where one of the first sentences is that they agree not to manipulate the weather on each other. So they wouldn't make that agreement unless there's something in place that can obviously do that, you know?
That's true.
I mean, that's just you know, my view on this. But then there's also other theories, too. And, you know, I like to listen to everything. I'm not sure what... And you make a good point about what you believe, what is truth. Reality is uncompromising in spite of your sensory, reception of it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a truth to, in the capacity that I can sense the world, that's what my truth is, and thus that's what my reality is. So there is a truth to reality is, and truth is a little bit different for everybody, even though, you know, I can't breathe underwater, even if I want,
see, here's the problem. Actually, the truth is exactly the same for everyone. But our perceptions of it are different.
I guess that would seem to make it a bit different from a man to a man. It seems about agenda then, not about it reality. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's a tricky argument. It's a slippery slope of an argument because your point is well taken. But again,
well, and here's another thing.
Talking about,
see, nobody can ever attain 100% truth.
Right.
There are some small facts that we can attain. 2 + 2 = 4. Anywhere you go in the universe. It's never going to be 5, and it's never going to be 3. It's 4.
And also, it does not need us to perceive it.
That's right.
A squared plus B squared is going to be C squared, whether there's a man there to perceive it or not. It's simply the math susses out.
Yeah.
So that's also.
But our perception of these truths, our perceptions of reality, shape our actions. And those perceptions and actions team up to bring about the consequences that flow from to our response to whatever truth or reality we're looking at. But, hey, listen, Colin, thanks for the call, man.
Thanks for your time. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. I know not everybody agrees with me. I know that some of you think you create your own reality. And that truth is truth for some people, but not for others. That's not the case. Truth is truth, period. Now, a lot of times we put things that are completely theoretical on a pedestal and call them truth. Well, theory is theory. Each person has their own theories about things, but those are not truth. Theory is a theory, and when you elevate it to the status of truth, you lock yourself into missing the point on a lot of things. You close your mind down when you do that, and you stop investigating and saying, well, what if? What if this? What if that? Do you remember when we had Dr. Michio Kaku here on the show? What a great guy. What a great guest. And during the conversation, we were talking about Newton's laws of motion and how those ruled. I mean, those were king. Newton's laws of movement, laws of motion, were viewed as the laws of physics at the time. And then along came Einstein. And when Einstein came along, he said, well, now, hang on a minute. I think Mr. Newton may have missed something here, and he proposed something that today we understand and we call the general and the specific theories of relativity. And people laughed at him. They said he was just a clerk in a patent office. That was kind of their opinion, dismissive of him. Well, look what they were dismissing. They were dismissing one of the most brilliant minds ever to walk this earth. And it turns out he was right and Newton was wrong. Now, in that conversation, I asked Dr. Michio Kaku, is it not the case that what we call the laws of physics are really not laws? They're just descriptions of our current understanding of the way things work. And someone, somewhere, sometime, will find a way, like Einstein did, to step over one of those boundaries and say, no, look, it really works this way. So what we call laws of physics are not really laws of physics. They are descriptions of our understanding of the way things work. They are our perception of how things work. That's what they are. They're our perceptions. Now, that means that something could happen out there amongst the stars that doesn't fit with our understanding of the laws of physics. And it does sometimes. And I read articles about it where they're saying, well, we don't understand this. We don't know how it could do this, but it did it. That's the astronomers. And so, our understanding of things, our perceptions of things, they're very real to us, but that doesn't mean that they have created a reality. If that were true, then when Newton imagined what he imagined, and when he reasoned what he reasoned, and he wrote what he wrote, that would have been the end of the story, would it not? That would have been the end of it. And there could have been no possibility for an Einstein. Just because we think it doesn't mean it's real. But one thing we can know is that reality does exist, and we can think about it. And weather warfare, the technology, is a reality. We'll be back. All right, we are talking about weather warfare. The telephone line is open, 602-539-3316. 602-539-3316. Now, for those of you who say, well, I'm really, you know, I'm undecided. I don't know if this really exists. Well, the United States Secretary of Defense under Bill Clinton at one point was William Cohen. And Secretary of Defense Cohen, speaking at an April 1997 counterterrorism conference, sponsored by former Senator Sam Nunn, said about terrorists. He was talking about various terrorist groups and what they do, how they engage in their activities. And he said others, talking about terrorists, others are engaging even in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. Now, take into consideration that he is the, at that point, he is the U.S. Secretary of Defense. Take into account that he's speaking at a counterterrorism conference sponsored by former Senator Sam Nunn, and take into account that he said that these terrorists are engaging, are not working on the capability to do so, but they are engaging in an eco-type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate. That is weather warfare. So it is a reality, apparently, based on the statements of this statement by the U.S. Defense Secretary, William Cohen, in 1997. So based on what he said in 97, he said they are engaging in this type of activity. And this type of activity is altering the climate, setting off earthquakes and volcanoes, using electromagnetic waves. Now, folks, I don't know, you know, I don't understand people who say, well, I just don't believe it's happening. But if you don't believe that it's happening, first of all, like I say, I don't understand how belief even gets into this. I mean, here is a statement by the Defense Secretary of the United States in 1997 who said it is happening. They are engaging in it. Then you also have legislation that's public record here in the United States of America that authorizes the research and development of weather modification. And you have a publication, or two, actually many publications, by the various branches of the military talking about their desire to manipulate the weather in order to influence the outcome of various engagements. So, I mean, I don't know what there is to believe. It's there. But if you decide you don't believe that it's going on, I'd like to hear from you, and I'm quite honest and quite serious about this. I would like to know why. I'd like to know what's behind that. Now, there are, at the other end of the spectrum, there are people who say, well, yeah, but you know, I think these big storms that are coming in like Katrina and Ike, I mean, Ike is on a dead bead for Galveston, and Galveston is the heart of gasoline production. It is, Galveston is the heart of petroleum refining. I mean, if it tears up those refineries, we're in really deep kimchi. And so there are people who say, well, you know, you look at Katrina and it took a dead bead on New Orleans. It did. And it intensified as it approached New Orleans. And they say, take a look at Ike. It's got a dead bead on Galveston. And that's very, very important to the energy sufficiency of the United States of America. Well, that's true. And there are people on that far end of the spectrum who say that they think that there are dark forces inside our own government that are actually behind doing that. Now, that's something that, if that's what you think, I want to hear from you, and I want to know, why do you think that? I'm not sure why you think it. But let me make sure we open the phone lines here. The phone line is open, 602-539-3316. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Caller, you are live. Are you, do you want to talk? No, okay. All right, 602-539-3316. This idea that we have dark forces inside our own government that are generating these storms and then aiming them at American cities, I find excessively difficult to accept. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Kevin in North Carolina.
Yes, Kevin. What's on your mind?
Oop, I kind of lost you there. Are you hearing me?
Oh, we're hearing you fine. What's on your mind?
Well, I was going to say, I think I would have to believe there's definitely something to it. Okay, believe, I used the word. But the thing that kind of convinced me was watching the sped-up video of the images of Katrina, and it was kind of wobbling through the Gulf, and all of a sudden it goes in a, it was kind of veering away from New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns, and then it just goes in a straight line right at it. No more wobbling, no more wavering. It just looked unnatural. And I would be curious if the same thing doesn't show up, you know, somehow with Ike or something like that. So, but that's...
Well, you know, here's the thing. All of the ones that they've talked about before as being manipulated, you can look at the eye of those storms, and they're not round. They're not circular. The eye will be octagonal, or it, in some cases, is rectangular.
Yeah, I can easily believe that extremely low-frequency, long-standing waves can be set up, and they basically are like giant electromagnetic walls that this thing will run into and then flow down. That I've been in radio 30-something years. That's just not a hard concept for me to grasp. I think that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
pretty believable.
Well, so far, with the images of Ike, it looks to me as if the eye of this storm is circular. I could be wrong, but what I have seen so far, the eye was circular and not octagonal and geometric. It was just circular. So this just may be just, you know, a real bad boy on its own. But
or they managed to manipulate it early on, or, you know, it's not needing much prodding or something like that. Who knows? And you were talking about the earthquakes earlier.
Yeah.
I've seen the website. I can't think of who the guy is. He was on the other radio show there, where he plotted all of the earthquakes in this one area in Nevada, and they all fall in a gridwork pattern. You could basically draw a checkerboard over the area, and all of the little earthquakes that are happening are all where the lines cross. There's nothing random about it. It's just, you know, if you calculated the statistics, the probability is beyond, you know, chance that these earthquakes were happening where they were.
So you're talking about these earthquake clusters that were happening around Reno?
Right.
Yeah. So what do you think? Do you think those are natural, or do you think that those are being created by somebody?
Oh, no. I think they're being created. And in fact, this is a far-fetched thing, but I heard that, you know, they're doing them with some kind of, you know, advanced remote technology. And, this is more humor here than anything, but some people were saying that they think some of the crop circles were the guys that run these machines practicing.
Could be.
They're not extraterrestrials making the crop circles. They were terrestrial folk having a good time, you know.
Well, it could be. I mean, you know, honestly, it could be.
Hey, I'd like to give 2 cents on the create your own reality issue. Let me offer this to you. I think maybe you may be looking at it more literal than I would, but I think there is something to the idea that you create your own reality. But it's not quite as absolute. You know, it's how much, you know, like how much do you have to devote to get your reality to happen kind of thing.
Creating your own experience.
Do what?
But what you're describing is creating your own experience.
Yes. But
yeah, but reality stands outside our experience.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's, to some degree, it's semantics, you know. I think what people that use that phrase a lot, and sometimes I do, are talking about is I'm saying, you know, when you go out and you be nice to people and you put nice things out into the world, you're going to tend to have a nicer experience than if you go out and be a, you know, I guess I get the SOB, and I'm not saying the words, then you're going to get people giving you a hard time. But the one example that really struck me was like, let's say that you've applied for a job and it really looks good and you can't think of anything that's going to go wrong, and then you go tell everybody you know, and then all of a sudden anything that can go wrong will go wrong with the situation and you don't get the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there may be something to the idea that, you know, the 10 people you told, they don't quite believe in your ability as much as you do, and as much as they'd like good things to happen for you, in the back of their minds they all thought, you know, he's not going to get it. So they were 10 to 1 against you. And that's where when I think the saying, we create our own reality, is we collectively, all of us together, as a planet, if we want a warring planet, we're going to get war. If we want a peaceful planet, we're going to get peace. And
yeah,
you're right.
See, that's,
but maybe the better way to say it is we create our own experience.
We do. And see, the reality is the job existed. It was open.
The what?
The job that you were describing, the reality is that the job existed, it was open.
Yeah.
But what you experienced was you didn't get it.
Right.
And I think that what you described is someone creating that experience for themselves by going and telling a bunch of people who perhaps are not really pulling for him. But we create our own experience, and I think that's an absolute. We create our own experience. But reality, it happens whether we're here or not.
I think it comes from my schooling in sociology, where there's a little phrase that I'll say it a different way, but basically, if the guy picks up a gun and he thinks it's loaded and he puts it to his head and clicks the trigger, he attempted suicide, even though there was no possible way he could kill himself. You know, his reality was he attempted suicide. You see what I'm saying? And that's where you get into the idea of,
yeah, but see,
you know, our reality,
people,
I knew the gun wasn't loaded. I let him pick it up. I let him go click. In my reality, there was no way he was going to commit suicide, but in his reality, he tried it.
But people who say they create their own reality say that our intent creates the reality. So if that were true, when the gun went click, even though there was no bullet in it, he should have dropped dead. If that was his intent, and if we create our own reality, then it should have happened.
I think in the longer run, if he really wants to die, he's going to keep going until he achieves it, you know.
Well, that's true, but in that specific instance, the reality was there was no bullet. And no matter how much he believed it, and no matter how much he intended it, there was no bullet.
I just don't think I don't think the phrase is meant as an instantaneous result. From that, 2 + 2 = 4. You have to add something to it if you want 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I give you that. I give you that. I think it's different. What's the one guy say? Different phraseology.
Yeah.
All right.
But let me leave you with this.
Okay.
If you have any doubt whatsoever as to whether you can create your own reality and you think maybe you can, spend the next 3 weeks believing you can breathe underwater. Believe it 24 hours a day. And on week number 4, I want to do a live broadcast when you try it.
Well, I just, the thing I'll have to do is believe hard enough between now and then to get myself an Aqualung, huh?
Hey, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Bye. Yeah, it's a hard concept for people to get their heads around, but that's one of the reasons the world is in the mess that the world is in. Reality is reality is reality is reality, period. And it's our perception of it that causes us to build the experiences we get from that reality. And if we, I think that was an excellent example. The gun. It's unloaded. Everyone in the room knows it's unloaded, but the guy that wants to kill himself, he thinks it's loaded. His intent is to kill himself. If we create our own reality, when he pulled the trigger and it just went click, he still should have dropped dead. He should have created his own reality right there, but it didn't. And that's the way the world is. What is, is. And for instance, there are people who think you can pick up a snake and pet it and call it a kitty cat and that it's going to be a good pet. It's still a snake, and someday it will bite you. That's reality. And, I use that metaphorically because there are people who face the world that way. You know, there's a difference between Islam and radical Islamic terrorists. There's a big difference. I have Islamic friends that have absolutely nothing to do with the radical ideas of the terrorist. And they oppose those ideas. People that I've worked with in the past, they oppose those ideas. And they call these terrorists criminals. Okay? But if you think you can pick up a radical Islamic, or radical any kind of terrorist, Islamic or Christian or whatever, if you pick up a terrorist, he's a radical, and you think that you can negotiate with that, and you think that you can, you're somehow going to convert that into some wonderful kind of a relationship, you know, you're smoking left-handed cigarettes. It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen in this century, the next century, or the next, or ever. It never has happened in all the centuries leading up to us. Now, the reason I bring all that up about terrorists and reality is because William Cohen said that there are terrorists engaged. He said that others are engaging, even in an eco-type of terrorism, whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes and volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. That was in 1997. He said they are doing it. Now, that's a reality you can't just walk away from that. You can't just say, there's nothing to that. And, if we just understood these people better, then we could get to the root of the problem, and then we could not have conflict with them. That's not reality. It's not reality. And they're already, according to Cohen, they're already engaging in this type of terrorism, which is climate control. Changing, altering the climate, setting off earthquakes. They're already doing it. And he says that, you know, these terrorists are all, he said they are engaging in this type of activity. All right, so that's a reality. It's a given. That's the United States Secretary of Defense, William Cohen, in 1997. So there it is. What is. And that means these people, the reality, these people are already negatively impacting your life. They've already negatively impacted the weather in the United States of America. They've already caused food prices to soar. If this hurricane does nothing to the oil refineries, and I hope it doesn't, it's still causing the price of gasoline to jump because they have to close down. They can't operate those refineries while there's an incoming massive storm like that. And so even if it does no damage to them, and I hope it doesn't, it's still negatively impacting your life. And it's possible. I'm not saying that Hurricane Ike is a storm that's being manipulated. I want to make that very clear. I'm not saying that that is a storm that is being manipulated. But if it is, we need to find out who's doing it, and we need to send them to meet their maker. We don't need to negotiate. This storm is going to kill people. This storm is going to wreak havoc in the American economy, which is already reeling. Now, if we know for sure that that storm is being manipulated by someone and that they're guiding, intensifying it and guiding it in, if we know that, they need to be vaporized. Now, every time I make a statement, I don't do that too often, but every time I make a statement like that, I get lots of email from people who say, I'm never going to listen to you again. You're a radical. I'm pretty radical about wanting to live. And I'm pretty radical about wanting my fellow humans around me to be able to live. Yep. If you think that's radical, I guess I am. I'll bring my radical self back right after this break. Don't go away. All right, we're talking about this whole weather warfare thing. What would be the advantage? I mean, you think about weather, and what would be the advantage of weaponizing it? In other words, being able to manipulate it so that you can create weather systems at will. Well, the advantage, I think, is pretty clear. If you're able, let's say there is an army that has amassed itself at a border and they're about to do an invasion, and that's one of your allies. One of the things that armies really can't function well in, usually, is heavy downpours of rain and high wind. Now, if you could create that right over that army, you wouldn't have to create it, you know, everywhere, just right over that army. So that as that army tries to do the invasion, they're facing awful weather. If you could do that, then you obviously have an advantage. You can slow them down. I don't know that you could stop them, but you could slow them down. But as a weapon against an economy in the hands of terrorists, and I read you what Defense Secretary Cohen, in the hands of terrorists, if they have a way to spin up a storm, you know, spin up a hurricane and make it devastating, and if they have some way to sort of guide it to where they want it to go, then you could create these things and cause them to hit targets where there would be maximum damage and really put some dents in the economy of the country you're trying to hit without ever crossing their border with any of your operatives. So, you know, I think it's a very serious thing, and I think it's something that we need to be aware of. I don't think it's something that, we need to be afraid of, because the fact is, you know, you don't have the technology in your home to aim at Hurricane Ike, turn it on, and cause that hurricane to slow down and unspin. You don't have, you and I, we don't have the means to stop that hurricane. So what we is we have to perceive that that's an oncoming threat to life, and we have to clear out. We have to evacuate. And then I think scientists in the employ of our government, I think they need to look at that and determine whether that was an artificially intensified and guided hurricane. I think they need to do whatever needs to be done to track back where it came from, where the energy waves were coming from, and eliminate those as sources of problems for the future. Now, when I say that, there are people who say, well, you know, you can't just do that. I mean, what if that machine that did that is sitting in the middle of, I'm not going to name a country because we have listeners all over the world, but some country that doesn't like America. And, you know, it's sitting there in the middle of that country. Well, if you go in there and eliminate it, you eliminate that machine, they're going to consider that an act of war. You know, I don't care. I mean, you got to understand, if they did it, that was an act of war. And so when you go in and eliminate that technology, you're simply responding to an attack on your country. So am I warlike? No, I'm not. I don't look for trouble. But will I run from it? Never. I mean, you know, if somebody decides that you know, they want to beat me up, my attitude towards that is I'm not looking for a fight, but let's get it on. You decide you want to attack me, well, let's get it on, get it over with, and that way I can heal up better and we can attend your funeral. That is the attitude that we have to have if these are being artificially intensified and if they're being guided. Now, Colonel Tom Bearden, retired, is a well-known expert in the field of scalar weapons. And I'm looking at an email here that he sent back in 2005, August 27th, 2005. It's posted on the internet. And he says, I suspect most of our storms, this is right after Katrina. He said, I suspect most of our storms from now on will have appreciable weather engineering added to cause more damage. We have entered the operational phase of asymmetrical war against us. And as Secretary of Defense Cohen confirmed in 1997, the terrorists are using electromagnetic weapons to stimulate volcanoes into eruption, cause earthquakes, and control our climate and weather. And then he goes on to describe things about Katrina that made him think that it was being artificially intensified or engineered. He said, another practice or demonstration shot seems to have been the very recent sun eruption, apparently deliberately steered at Indonesia, which knocked out the entire electrical power system of Indonesia, leaving some 100 million persons without power. At this point, I'm reading from this email now that Tom Bearden wrote that's posted on the internet. It says, at this point, there is something like a 70% probability that it was an artificial shot. It's a standard practice of our foes to do such a dress rehearsal to show that the major variables are under control before assembling and unleashing the actual shot on the real target, the United States. So is it possible that we are having these shots, if you will, fired at us through weather? Well, I think it probably is. You look at what Defense Secretary Cohen said. You look at what Tom Bearden says. It would seem to me that the rational, logical conclusion would be yes, very high probability that there are some shots being taken at us with weather warfare. Let's go to the telephone line, and caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Steve in Fort Worth.
Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
I remember in the Bible that Jesus, you know, when he had his disciples, and they were on the Sea of Galilee, and there was a big storm that came up, and all the disciples were kind of worried about it. And anyway, Jesus finally came out and told the storm to be still. And this was kind of an example to me of like mind over matter. And I just wanted to hear your viewpoint on that. And anyway, I'll hang up and hear your viewpoint.
Okay. No, don't hang up, because you may have another question or two after I answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not saying that there is no such thing as mind over matter. But the reality is there was a storm.
Correct.
Okay. Now you get to choose what is your response to the storm. Now in that story, he chose, of course, the Bible presents him as being God in the flesh. Or the New Testament does, presents Jesus as being God in the flesh.
Yes.
The storm was a reality. He chose a response based on his abilities, and he didn't create his own reality. He changed the reality. Okay, now here's the difference. Had he created his own reality, he would not have experienced the storm, but the people around him still would have.
That's right. Well, Jesus said that he gave the disciples authority over things like that, and it's kind of like, well, they had to make a decision to use that authority like he did, and believe that he had that they had the same power that he had to take dominion over the physical.
Yeah, I understand where you're going with that, and it sounds good. And theoretically may be true. However, there is only one other man in history about whom it is claimed he actually walked on water, and that was Peter. And he didn't do very well at it. He sank, and the others didn't even try. So having authority does not necessarily mean having ability.
That's true. I think that it's a matter of, I think Jesus said that it was a matter of faith. It's a matter of what you believe. As a man believes, let it be unto him. You know what I mean? It's like there's a factor of faith. I call it the factor of faith. You know, I'm going to tell a quick little story, and then I'm going to hang up. But
right.
When I was a young man, I worked out in East Texas in the Piney Hills out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was in the oil field, and I mean, it was hot, very hot, maybe like 100 degrees for like 13, 14 days straight. And finally, I just got tired of it. And I had been reading the Bible, and I walked out of my truck. I was working in a truck, and I said, just let it cool down and let it rain. And so help me God, Kevin, that on a perfectly clear blue sky day, the temperature dropped about 20 degrees, it clouded up, and it started to rain. And, anyway, I just wanted to pass on that story, but I do think that there is something to this mind over matter that maybe is connected to this whole phenomenon of controlling the weather.
And, so you think that if we got, say, a million of us to think for Ike to die that we could cause that hurricane to die?
Well, I think that like Jesus said that if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could do a lot of things. And I think that people are preoccupied with the worries of this world today and are not really able to focus on what it takes to get something accomplished to that magnitude. That's just a personal opinion of mine.
Well, I concur with the opinion that people are focused on absolutely anything and everything except what really matters. That's true.
Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in the mind over matter category.
Well, I think there is a possibility of mind over matter. However, like I said, the storm was a reality. And, reality hits us, and then we have to deal with it. I don't think we create it. I think, we deal with it.
Well, I kind of look at the storm. I mean,
Do you want to hang on through the break?
Sure. Yeah. I'll hang on, Kevin.
All right. Hang on. We'll be back right after this break, ladies and gentlemen. Don't go away. We are back, and we're talking about weather warfare. Before we get back to our caller, let me remind you, some of you procrastinated on that special offer we had for Megapack. And, I told you I had 50 copies, and when they were gone, the special offer was gone. Well, that happened. Some of you procrastinated, and that happened. And I began getting emails saying, I want the Megapack. Where can I? Well, that special offer is gone. The 50 are gone. So what I did was I said, okay, well, we'll extend. It'll still be a special offer. It's different. It's not as lucrative for you as the first one, but it's still great. It's less than $1 per show, $18, $2 for shipping and handling, but $18 for the Megapack, and it's up there. I'm going to leave it up there just for a few days, and when it's gone, it's gone, and it goes up to regular price. So take care of that quickly, all right? If you want Megapack, go for it. Okay, we went away for break. Caller, you had another couple of things you wanted to say, so go ahead.
Okay, Kevin. What I was going to say was that I kind of looked at the storm as a negative force on the disciples when they were in the Sea of Galilee. In other words, I think that it was I'm not going to say evil, but I'm going to say just it was a negative force in the physical realm. And Jesus, he recognized that, and he came against it with a positive force, and the positive force overcame the negative force. And I think that a lot of the of what we experience in life, that Jesus tried to give us counsel on how to handle negative situations in life, and that is to use the power of positive thinking. Not just positive thinking, but using, like he did, to manipulate, to take authority over the, over matter, over things that come against you that are.
Yeah, but do you know of anybody else ever that stopped a storm like that?
Well, not firsthand, I don't. But I think that if I researched it, I could probably find a few. Jesus was unique that he was the Son of God, and that but one thing that Jesus did say, Kevin, was that the things that you see me do, you will also do, but not only with that, but even greater things that you will do.
Yeah, I'm aware that he said that. I've spent 55 years looking for it. I haven't seen it.
Well,
I'm not attacking. I'm being honest. I haven't seen anyone else walk on water. I haven't seen anyone else stop a storm. I haven't seen anybody else do any of the things that he talked about.
Well, some of the things that he talked about, I think that are just analogy. And I say that for only the reason that, like he said, that Jesus raised the dead.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a Christian and you believe in a, you know, if you believe in Christ, then when you minister to somebody and you present them the gospel and they receive Christ, then you essentially have raised them from the dead, because they were dead according to the gospel.
But why would you allegorize that and not the storm?
Well, I'm just saying that's an example of an analogy that mm-hmm. I haven't really spent a lot of time trying to correlate and see how it fits. But I think that a lot of the things that Jesus said were in parables. Even he said that they were in parables. But in this instance, I don't have an exact answer to that parable, to that situation.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Okay.
He literally raised Lazarus from the dead. If we're going to buy the story that's in the New Testament, he literally raised him from the dead. I don't see anybody else doing that. He literally, if we buy that story about the storm, if we say, yep, that's the real deal, then he literally stopped a storm just by speaking. I haven't seen anybody else do that.
Well,
and what I'm saying is that I think that there is technology that can start storms. I think there is technology that can intensify them. And I think there's technology that can de-intensify them, that can cause a storm to spin down so that it's not as intense as it was. But as far as people just thinking, I have not seen anyone be able to just think it into happening.
Well, I don't disagree with anything that you say, Kevin, on that. You know that apparently we have not reached a certain level of faith, let's say, to live in that realm. But no, you're exactly right. I mean, we have to rely on mechanical instruments and the laws of physics to get things done, rather than the laws of the power of the mind, I would say.
Now, let me throw this out. There's back to Michio Kaku, and he talks about the many, many different dimensions that he thinks exist.
Okay.
And I don't know if you heard earlier when I was talking about when I asked him, isn't it true that what we call the laws of physics are really just descriptions of our understanding of the way things work? And he said, yeah, that's right. Now, it's quite possible that we simply don't understand the way things work at all, and that we may reach a point where we do understand the way things work, and things that we thought were the laws of physics we'll laugh at. That's possible. And if we reach that point, it may be possible that we can mentally interact at a quantum level to such a degree that we could do those things that we read about, for instance, when Jesus walked on water or when he stopped the storm. That might be possible. It may be a physical reality once we get past these boundaries we've set up and called the laws of physics.
I believe that that's exactly a track that we need to look towards. You know, there's a physical realm and there's a mental realm or a spiritual realm, let's say. And you know, I think that we seem to rely on the physical realm, and then, you know, it's like the Bible says, you can't serve two masters. So if we rely on the physical realm, we don't devote any time to the spiritual realm. So I think that yes, we have a long way to evolve until we get to that state of consciousness where we can actually operate in the mental.
Yeah, but let me throw this out, and then we're going to have to run because we're at the end of the show here. And in fact, let me let you go, and you can hear this on the air because the music has started. All right, thank you. Here's a possibility. The possibility is that we may reach a point where we understand what are the real laws of physics, and we may be able at that point to create some realities, but not yet. All right, folks. That's the end of the show. Thanks for participating. Thanks for being here. I've had a great time. I hope you have too. And I hope you'll be back next time. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.